And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for Tuesday, February 16th, 2021. And a good afternoon to you. Hopefully you are staying as warm as you possibly can wherever you are listening in here today as we watch this bitter cold grip the U.S. here. Continuing to grip the U.S. It's just crazy weather we're having right now. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you with us. MarketTalkAg.com. That is our home on the web, MarketTalkAg.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It is all at MarketTalkAg. Well, we come out of a three-day holiday weekend and have a really strong day throughout the grain markets as well as livestock, especially the hog market as well. Let's talk about it. Let's bring in our good friend Matt Bennett with AgMarket.net. And Matt, good afternoon. I hope you're staying as warm as you can where you're at.
Yeah, my office is good and warm. So it's not very warm outside, though. Kids are waiting for me to get home so we can play in the snow. I said, guys, it's cold outside. So I said, why don't you guys go ahead and play in the snow for a little while? That way they won't want to play for much longer once I get there. But regardless, it's cold. You know, we had probably 8-9 inches of snow right here where I'm at. It was one of the bigger totals, I think, right here along Route 16 in Illinois. And so, you know, I had quite a bit of snow, definitely a little bit of moisture. But quite frankly, north of me is where, you know, some of the folks are really concerned about moisture in Illinois. Fortunately, we're in okay shape. We've still got a few tiles trickling a little bit. But, yeah, great day in the market to start out the week. Last night on the overnight, boy, we started out like gangbusters, you know?
Yeah.
And you'd have thought this was just going to be a typical Sunday night type trade. Of course, it's a holiday, so it's Monday night trade. But, yeah, Jesse, you and I both watched this for several weeks in a row. Not every week, but every week that we've seen a higher open on Sunday night, it gets sold, you know, and the market fades. And people get up in the morning and the market's kind of gone away from them. And it's just been kind of frustrating. Same thing happened here. And so, you know, basically going into the overnight close, most of your gains were faded, you know. This move during the daytime actually was pretty impressive considering what the overnight market did. You know, we went up there, we really made a nice rally, you know, based upon a lot of different things, but I'd say weather in South America and then freeze in wheat country, those things I think were really grabbing the headlines.
Yeah, I think bean oil as well was another thing that kind of kicked us off, especially that overnight. And, you know, I was starting to get a little concerned midday. Bean meal started to pull back. It was pressure in that soybean complex. And then, you know, poof, that last half hour of trade, we ended up really strong today. And I'm with you. I was really pleased and I think really impressed with the moves today.
Yeah, definitely. I felt really good, especially this corn market. Wow. You know, I mean, typically when you see corn up 13 and a half cents, you don't see beans up 12 and three quarters to 14 and a half. You know, it's typically 20 to 30 cents. And so, you know, this corn market was quite impressive here to start the week. To be honest with you, it's surprising to me that we're that strong. I think there's a lot of folks looking at the baseline numbers coming up this week, thinking, you know what, these acreage levels are going to be rather large. And I think that they would be. I mean, you know, people might want to get frustrated and throw salt at it. But you know what? Hey, whenever there's a lot of profit margins, acres show up. I mean, that's just kind of the way it works. But I think one thing you and I have talked about before is, you know, some of these other crops, whether it's milo, sorghum, wheat, cotton, you know, a lot of these folks are saying, and we're going to try to hold on to some acres. You know, so we've seen some of these other crop prices actually pretty impressive. And so it'd be interesting to see if we can get over that, you know, 183, I think, is what basically the average trade guess is right now for corn and beans combined. If you get above 183, you're getting into some very uncharted territory. 181 and change is where we've topped out previously. But, you know, there will be some prevent plan acres coming back in. And, you know, bottom line is you've got to think that you're going to have decent acreage. So to see this kind of rally to start the week is really nice to see for especially for producers who've been shook up, you know, by the market last week, you know, reacting negatively to the USDA numbers.
Very, very true. And, you know, we'll be looking at those baseline projections. We got the outlook form coming up, a lot of things on the horizon for acreage and that acreage battle. I'd like to ask you on corn, how important was it that we closed above that 550 mark today on that March contract and we're close to it in that May contract? I mean, that seems like that's been a number we've had. It's been a trouble point the last few weeks, Matt.
Yeah, it really has. I think, you know, you get up in that territory, and if you could close above it like we did today, especially if you can kind of build off of it, I think that you make the case that this market's for real, you know, because I think a lot of folks, you know, depending on who you're listening to or whatnot, there's a lot of experts out there saying, you know what, this thing is going to fade. This market just doesn't have enough fuel for the fire. I totally understand after the last 7 or 8 years that a person would be skeptical, you know, if price is rallying through the roof. But at the same time, you know, you're looking at very tight stocks to use ratios, both corn and beans. You were in a situation with beans where we might run out, you know. And so, quite frankly, I think with corn, you're not going to run out. But at the same time, you know darn good and well that most traders are going to say that 1.5 that the USDA threw at us last week's just not accurate, you know. And I don't want their job. I do not want the USDA's job. But seeing 240 million bushels of export sales to China in 1 week, you know, between the January and February report, and then you raise exports in February by 50 million bushels, it's an eyebrow raiser. Let's face it. It just is. And so you've got to assume in March there could be some further trimming. And I guess my opinion, I feel pretty strongly that your carryout's closer to 1 billion right now than 1.5, you know, so there's a fair amount of trimming that we could still do until we see a fair amount of demand rationing. Because, you know, in the week last week, we got 300,000 in sales, you know, on the export sales on the morning wire. That's not something that demand rationing, it's not showing that it's working. And so we keep getting sales and shipments were pretty decent record for this week. This morning, you got to think that you're going to continue to see a chance for these prices to go on up.
And I know last week's soybean export shipments on the soybean side, we'll move there a little bit. I mean, we were off the pace of recent weeks, but it was still very strong. And we have to think that, you know, again, we talk about all this demand rationing and these numbers that USDA is throwing out there for the carryout on both corn and beans. I'm in the camp that you're in. I think this carryout's going to have to go lower. And I'm with you. I do not want USDA's job when it comes to figuring all this out, because it's definitely a territory we haven't been in many, many years.
It is. And so we're tracking together. And I think a lot of people in the industry are tracking with us. But Jesse, the other thing we as, you know, helping producers, and I farm, we as producers have to understand that, you know, whether we're talking about 550 corn or 1385 beans or new crop, you know, even 450, 7 3/4 and 1180, 1185 and 3/4 where we closed today. You know what? You got to ask yourself, is it smart to be bullish, if you will, at these levels? First of all. Second of all, does it mean you're not still friendly to market potentially due to fundamentals, due to whatever it might be, just because you make a sale? And so as a producer, we have to understand that quantifying our situation when we're at very profitable levels makes a heck of a lot of sense. Keep some flexibility. But good Lord, you know, after last week, a lot of folks were in panic mode on Friday afternoon because the market didn't close that well. And they thought, oh, gosh, you know, 3-day weekend, what's going to happen on Tuesday? Very concerned about this. And then you come in here on Tuesday and you see up 13 and up 14 and we're gun shy about making sales again. It doesn't make any sense. We got to be very cautious as to ignore that this market is a volatile market. It's going to go wherever it wants to go. Yes, my tendency is to believe it'll go higher, but if it doesn't, we're going to be kicking ourselves for not making some sales at profitable levels that we haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah, and that's something we always talk about on the show, Matt, is find those profit levels. And like you said, have some flexibility, but find some ways to make some sales if it makes sense for you. And I would like to think that at some of these price levels, whether it's still old crop or we're talking new crop even, there's got to be some room for some profitability, even if it's something you lock in at that level and that's your bottom floor. I mean, come on. I'm with you. There's got to be some room for some sales here, Matt.
Absolutely. And, you know, right now, Jesse, I'm getting ready for Commodity Classic, you know, virtual. So I've got to make a virtual presentation. You know, and the cool thing is I always go back and look at the previous year. You know, and last year we were talking about how can we get $4 corn? You know, because $4 corn was like going to the promised land, you know, quite frankly. And so how can we get $4 corn? We're going to be looking at trying to be creative with selling some D's corn and maybe locking in big carry out to the July and all kinds of cool things for 2020. Right now you're staring 458 corn in the face, you know, and we're asking ourselves, oh gosh, I don't know if I want to sell too much because, you know, what happens if we have a dry summer and this thing goes to five or 550? Well, you're probably going to have more corn to sell if you sell some corn at 458. And so we've got to look at this from a profit margin, profitability standpoint, return on investment. You know, we're all producers and we've got a lot riding on making money here. We got to run our business like a farm, or farm like a business.
Well, we talk about, you know, exports and shipments here, and we've seen that pace continue to be strong. Obviously, China's out of the market here this week with their Lunar New Year holiday. We continue to see the weather issues in South America. And then we have to think about, too, the extreme winter weather here in our country. Is starting to hear reports that we're starting to get a little bit of impact on ag transportation, whether it be shorter trains, whether it be problems with barges, with ice, trucks not being able to get around. How much do you think some of this winter weather is going to maybe impact us here in the short term? And how much could that play into our markets? I know, especially in the livestock side, a lot of volatility there. We'll get to that in a minute. But on the grain side, what are your thoughts with this winter weather?
Well, a couple things. You know, the things you've already mentioned, not to mention some of these ethanol plants basically went down, you know, and said they were going to sell some of their, natural gas that they had available for them because they could sell it at a significant profit, you know. And so on the short-term basis, they're going to be down. As far as transportation goes, you always know there could be a disruption, you know, with freezing rivers and whatnot. But fortunately, it looks like it's going to be fairly short-lived. But I see, in my opinion, there could be some really interesting basis implications, regionally speaking, just to get the grain where it needs to be. And so if you're a producer and you're not shopping basis and shopping cash bids, if you're sitting on old corn right now, I think you're missing the point. So got to pay very close attention to that.
Yeah, very, very true. South American weather real quick. I know we're kind of hearing the same things out of what's happening in Brazil and Argentina. It just seems like mixed returns. And I know Friday afternoon we got a report from Ag Resource that, you know, said things weren't looking too great in Brazil with some of the first, first harvested beans down there. But yet, you know, that's kind of contradictory to some of the reports we have seen. So, I mean, it seems like a mixed bag out of South America right now.
It is a mixed bag. I think the thing I'm watching closest is, can they get the beans harvested where they're having issues with way too much rain, you know, in Brazil? Because some of the areas they're having a lot of rain are areas they're trying to get beans harvested and then go ahead and plant corn. The Safrinha crop's already going to go in the ground as a whole on average, at least 2 to 3 weeks later than what they would prefer to go in, which raises a lot of questions. Because the Safrinha crop, you get towards the end of the growing season and you get into their dry season. And typically they have a hard time buying rain at that point. And so, you know, your growers will tell you when it comes to Safrinha crop, it's very important to get it in the ground in a timely fashion. And so that's something you got to watch very closely. Not to mention Argentina, certainly it's almost like they keep getting enough rain to get by. But the 1 and 2 week forecast that came out today just flat out said they're not going to get much rain. It's not going to be super hot, but they're not going to get much rain. So I do not expect a huge crop, either corn or beans, out of Argentina unless something changes here pretty quickly.
Let's talk livestock. I want to start with this cattle market first here, Matt. And I think that's where we're going to see most of our impacts here this week with the winter weather. I mean, we're talking snow and ice in parts of the U.S. that we don't normally see it. And I know that's going to create some interesting scenarios there in feedlot country. And, you know, we're still waiting to see just how interested Packers are going to be this week. I know asking price is 116 plus in the south and really nothing yet in the north. What happened with this cattle market today, though? I was kind of surprised at the late collapse. Was it just the surge in corn that really did it? Or is there something else underlying there?
You've got to think so. You know, the thing with the cattle market, you come in here after the overnight, the way the overnight market started, I would have told you that the cattle market was going to be on fire right out of the gate. I just kind of thought that that's what we would see because it seemed like everything was up, you know, on the overnight market. But obviously, whenever you have corn and feed, any sort of feed stuffs, you're going to have issues trying to get, especially feeder cattle, to rally. But I've got to think that it kind of threw a monkey wrench in the thing. You know, whenever you're surging towards the end of the day, you know, on corn and beans, to me, it's hard to get this cattle market started. But at the same time, the cattle industry has got much bigger problems to deal with, you know, when you're talking this cold of weather, you know. So we certainly hope that this is going to abate soon, because obviously it's very hard on livestock. They boil through corn like it's going out of style, you know, just to be able to create enough energy to be able to make things work. But I expect this cattle market actually to stay fairly well supported in here. I mean, the demand has just been good. And And I've told you that several times. Demand stayed good through the whole COVID debacle. You know, and it's not over, obviously, but whenever it was worse last spring, we still had pretty good demand. People want to eat beef if they get the opportunity to. And let's face it, a lot of folks have money in their pocket right now, even though there's issues out there. You know, there's been a lot of free money, you know, or I don't know if I want to call it free, but a lot of stimulus money out there. And so if there's money out there that you weren't necessarily expecting to get, research is going to show that you're going to buy T-bones instead of pork chops. And that's no offense to any pork producer. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, it is just the way it is. And I will be curious this week to see how much activity we actually get out of some of those feedlot states, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, with the snow and the weather impacts. And, you know, we overall today, yeah, we finished mixed, but we still finished mixed. I mean, we held our ranges here. It wasn't like there was a big falling out in this cattle market on Tuesday.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you've got to think, you know, kind of failing and coming off the highs the way that we did, you know, at least we didn't settle sharply lower. That would not have been a nice thing to see. But, you know, you look over into the end of the hogs and boy, I mean, gee, many Christmas, just a really good run lately. I mean, I wouldn't have thought that we would be trading, you know, $86 hogs in here. You get into $92 hogs on farther out. I mean, it's a to me, those are price levels that I know there's not very many independent hog producers, but if I was one, boy, I think I'd be locking in some of this, at least on a worst case scenario, similar to what we're talking about with corn. You know, just set a floor in the market just to know, because I know the guys that I work with and gals that I work with, hogs in the 80s typically are very profitable, let alone $92 hogs. So you got to be very cautious as to think that this thing's just going to run forever.
Yeah, and you know, you think about it, and I think a lot of us were curious to watch that April contract move to the front month at a very, you know, a big premium to the cash index, and yet here we are, still with strength again as we start a new week. I'm with you, very impressive in this hog market, and I would think that, I mean, you know, I guess I shouldn't say this, but you know, we've been hearing rumors that we might be nearing the top of this market, but yet we continue to push it higher, Matt. It's very interesting to watch.
It is very interesting to watch. And, you know, I think there's a lot of markets that you could kind of say that for, you know, and so, you know, there's certainly people are looking at commodities as something they can latch on to, maybe something that's safe, a little bit of safe haven buying. But as far as hogs are concerned, you know, you've got to think that, you know, with China ramping up pork production the way they are, with that, they just have an insatiable appetite for protein. People think that, you know what, we still got a home for these hogs, you know. Bottom line is they're still probably going to be buying at least until they get back to 100% or wherever it is they want to go. Who knows what level they want to be at, but they're still going to be in there buying anytime they see a deal. Right now, it doesn't look like a deal necessarily, and there's good reason for that.
Matt, any other outside market factors we need to watch here as we get into this week? Obviously, we know there's a lot of money moving into this market with the inflation talk and everything else. Anything else we need to keep our eye on here this week?
You know, I would say whenever I look, you know, the interesting thing for me, I mean, you see all kinds of movement, but energy, you know, I'm watching energy pretty closely as a producer, you know, are your energy needs met for this year, at least for most of the year. I'm not saying you lock in everything, but we got to be cautious as to assume this energy market is going to just falter, because I don't know that I feel confident right now that that's going to be the case. There's a lot of different things going on, whether you talk the pipeline, whatever it might be. I think that, you know, bottom line for me is $60 crude might seem cheap later on. I'm not super bullish right here. I just don't want to be a producer that sat here on my hands, because so many things fall into crude, you know, whether you're talking fertilizer, even some chemicals, you know, bottom line is I want to at least protect that to an extent, whether I do it with, you know, diesel, or whether I do heating oil, you know, or whether I do that with crude oil, either way, to me, I think we need to be very cognizant there. And then I just found it really interesting last night that the Dow was pushing up on 32,000 for a little bit. I get a lot of questions, you know, what do I want to do? You know what? I feel like this Dow is toppy, but I'm no expert there. I just feel like I'm struggling to think that it's going to continue higher based upon a whole variety of things. And I think a little bit of safe haven is probably not a bad idea, you know, when we're looking at investments.
Well, Matt, you guys at agmarket.net, great team, and you always have good information to share with producers. I know you guys have webinars and you got your app and a lot of stuff online that folks can check out, can't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Agmarket.net. It's a good site. You know, we've had a lot of folks either go there or our app. You know, we've got an app that a lot of folks use as well. So agmarket.net, though, is a good place to find all of it.
And you can find out contact information for Matt and the entire agmarket.net team there as well, all online, agmarket.net. Matt, appreciate the time as always. Good to catch up with you. Stay warm and talk to you soon.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks, bud.
Matt Bennett with agmarket.net, our guest today here on Market Talk. Find us online, markettalkag.com. This has been the Tuesday, February 16th edition of Market Talk. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Have a great afternoon.